used to feel that way. And when I started feeling that and realizing where I was at, this idea of going through these motions, not feeling connected, I started asking myself, why do we even pray? What's the point of praying? If God is going to do what he's going to do, then what's the point, right? And it just hit me. Oh my God, that's a great sermon. What has this program done to me? I don't know what I'm doing, you know? I'm just sitting here thinking about this. Oh, wait, that's a great thing. I'm going to start working on solutions, and I'm going to get out of this little funk that I'm in. But I was that reminder, like, oh my gosh, I'm dealing with Mondays again. And here it is, Saturday or Friday. It didn't matter what day of the week, but it was that mentality, that mindset of just running through the motions, running through that routine. And I know everybody has felt that. Everybody has. So when I had this idea, being that it would be a great sermon, I started doing that research and doing this, that thinking. And it was funny because last Saturday I was sharing with Brett that in the morning I went to Metro and we did the South Dallas thing and I was there for people, but I wasn't kind of like there. I was still dealing with COVID brain, which is basically a sense of just you can't focus, you can't really think, you can't put two thoughts together. But I was there, and then that night I was going to be preaching over right across the, literally, stone throw away at Christ Community Church, and I was to bring the message, and I already had lined out exactly what it is that I was doing, which was my story on Elijah that I've done a couple months back. And I was talking about, like, I get to do this, you know, and I get to do this, and I get to bring this message, and, you know, and what he was dealing with, depression, being unfit spiritually, unfit emotionally, unfit physically. And it was my reminder, I need to start doing the program. I need to start doing action. I need to start doing this. And then I'm sitting here working on this, and I'm still getting bombarded with all these distractions and these emotions, and I just continue to focus, and I continue to pray, but I got it all out, you know? I came across this story, and as I get into this and share the story, if you haven't gotten your bulletin, I'm sorry, I forgot again, but if you need a bulletin or a pen, please raise your hand. Somebody will come around and get you that, but I think everybody's okay because nobody's raising their hand. Thank you. So I came across the story of this group that went to Africa on a missionary trip. And one of the members of this group was a really big, buff bodybuilder, right? And while they were there in this small little tribe, kind of out in the middle of nowhere, the guy kind of did this little exposition, this little performance, and he started, you know, flexing all of his muscles and doing all these twists and turns like Pete does on Facebook. And, you know, he just... You know, and the tribal leader afterwards was just like, he came up to this bodybuilder and he's like, you know, that was just amazing. You know, I've never seen so many muscles on somebody before, you know, and, you know, the guy was like speechless, you know, well, thank you, you know. And the tribal leader asked him, well, if you have all those muscles, do you do anything else with them? You know, what are your other intentions of having all these muscles? And the bodybuilder just looked at him and was just like, well, they're nothing, really. The tribal leader looked at him and said, what a waste. Yeah. To have all that muscle and no use. And I was thinking, as Apostle Paul was telling the Ephesians, what's the point of having all this armor of God when it's not being put to use? And I was kind of joking with Aunt Lori as she was bringing Ephesians 6 last week to us. And I was like, you know, I was like, no, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. But, you know, it's all right. I got a different little twist to it. I got a little different twist. So on your bulletins, you have some outlines right there. And if you want to pull out your Bible app on your phone or if you have a Bible, turn with me to Ephesians 6. So Apostle Paul expressed to the Ephesians that our struggle in life, and this is in verse 6:12, the struggles in life is not against the flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So that means that the attacks on us are not against the physical world, but of the spiritual world.
Amen. Amen.
Right? It's the spiritual world. It's the heavenly realms. The problems we deal with are actually manifested in the spiritual realm. For those of us in recovery, you know, we can understand the spiritual malady, right? But when we were reading from this letter from Paul, and he's bringing this as our example, the physical realm is where we see the symptoms from the root of the attack, right? When we are tired and we are angry and we're frustrated and we're dealing with these emotional pains or we're getting bombarded and attacked from the devil and his little schemes and shenanigans that he learned from John Featherston, we tend to forget that what we're dealing with is a spiritual malady. It is a problem in the spiritual realm that we're trying to solve physically, visually. But what we're trying to accomplish is the fruit of the problem, the symptom. You know, we have to deal with it spiritually. So, as I'm sitting here reminded in what Paul was talking about, and he's talking about the Ephesians 6 and the armor of God and the belt of truth and all those, and we'll get into those specifics in a little bit later, but how do we deal with spiritual matters from the physical world? How do we deal with spiritual matters from the physical world? And the answer, you can go ahead and you first fill in the blank. Prayer.
Amen.
Prayer. The definition of prayer that I want you to take home with you is prayer. Earthly permission for heavenly interference. Earthly permission for heavenly interference. So when we ask for God to interfere into our lives in this world physically, to enter into us or into our situation we're dealing with here on earth, the visible, we're asking God to take his power, his might, invisibly to deal with our situation in the spiritual realm, all right? So in Ephesians 6, and we're going to continue further on, we're going to jump back from 12 to back to 10 real quick. So Paul tells us to stay strong, that the Lord is all-powerful, and to put on his armor, put on God's armor, when you stand before the devil and his shenanigans, right? That I learned from John. So Aunt Lori shared, like I said, with this last week, you know, so when we do this, and we read in Ephesians 6, when we stand firm, we jump down to verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. So he's talking to the Ephesians and saying, when that day comes, when you are being bombarded and the devil is attacking you, stand firm. Remember to put on God's armor to fight. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in your place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. With you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So all those attacks, you have the protection of the breastplate, the truth of God's word. You have the shield to protect you from all those attacks. So take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. The Spirit is the word of God. So when we are being attacked, what we have to do is take the word of God to battle.
Amen.
Take the word of God with us. And I love where Paul leads this. And we think of how prayer is the earthly permission for heavenly interference. And Paul's given us an example to put on all this spiritual armor to protect ourselves. But of course, we can't see it. We don't physically own it. We don't have it on us. But we have to remember, when we go into battle, all these things, truth, righteousness, humility, peace, understanding, and the Word of God is what all the tools we need to take into battle with us when that day comes. Paul continues in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and keep always on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that when I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. I want you to understand how many times Paul is telling us to do the exact thing. Pray. Listen to this. In verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Pray also for me, and when I speak, may the words be given, so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am the ambassador in chains. Pray. Pray that I may declare it fiercely. He's saying, when you're being attacked, put on your armor, go to war fearlessly, knowing that what it is that God told you, his promises, is going to come true, and whatever is attacking you will be taken care of, because God's got your back. When you pray, that earthly permission, God is waiting with his army to come in and fight for you and with you. So don't ever be forgotten whenever you're down in the ditch and you're having that gloomy Monday. Pray. Pray. So to answer your question, why do we pray? What's the point of even praying when God's going to do exactly what he's going to do, when he's going to do it? So what's the point of even asking him? The answer to those questions is, go ahead and fill in the blank. Number one, God wants you to want him. God wants you to want him. In Philippians 4:6-7, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, prayer and give your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. So matter if you don't even understand it, all understanding, God will guard your hearts and your minds. Because in the spiritual world, there's already been a victory. There's already been a victory. Jesus Christ has already won that battle for us. So when we call on the Word of God spiritually to take care of our heavenly needs, he is so thankful to hear from us. He is so pleased that his children are asking for help, because he wants to help. He wants to be there for you, to help you, to heal you, to protect your hearts and your minds, because Jesus already won that battle for us. Number two, he provides for us when we don't even know what we need. He provides for us when we don't even know what we need. Amen. In Romans 8:26, it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we don't know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. as I was sitting here a couple, you know, this last month, not really understanding what it is that I need to be praying for. I don't know why I'm feeling this way, so I don't know what solution. As Matthew's trying to think of the solution, God, I need you to do this for me, because this is what I know that is going to help me get through whatever it is that I'm dealing with. So why don't you provide me what I need? You know, I don't even know what it is. I don't even know. I was just tired, emotionally tired. And I didn't know exactly what it is that I needed. But God knew, as I was sitting here frustrated, without words, just frustration. He knows that I'm frustrated. He knows what I absolutely really do need. I just didn't have the words. I didn't, couldn't think, couldn't focus enough to really put into words a request, a prayer, what it is that I absolutely needed. But he knew, because he understood the pain that I was going through. He understood why I was being attacked. And he knew exactly what I needed. And he gave me exactly what I needed, understanding. He gave me this fellowship. He gave me the people that I love, people that loved me, to lift me up and to give me hope. Amen. Number three, prayer allows us to resist temptation. Prayer allows us to resist temptation. As Matthew 26:41, not me, Matthew, Jesus warned his disciples as they were falling asleep. This is right before he was about to be arrested, right? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we can use this to any sort of temptation that we're dealing with. When we put it into context, he was asking them to pray, to stay alert, to be focused, but they were tired. This physical body of ours requires so much to be maintained. You know, they were just tired. Dude, it's like midnight, I'm tired, it's past my bedtime, Aunt Lori's already gone to bed, so why am I have to stay awake, you know? So it's just, we're tired. I don't want to just fall asleep. Even just the temptation of just going to sleep, the temptation to do the things that we know what hurts us. Prayer allows us to resist those temptations because, once again, when we ask God to intercede into our lives and remove the spiritual malady, because what that temptation does is it creates that wedge between our relationships. It's a devil's attack to sit there and wedge. I know you want to go do this. I know you want that bottle. You want to stop at that store on your way home because you're tired, you're frustrated, you're angry, life, your boss is down your neck. I know you, that's what you want. But when we fall into that temptation, the devil wins. But when we pray to God to remove our frustration, remove that temptation, he will intercede for you every single time. Amen. Living life without prayer can leave us weak and exposed, given an opportunity for the enemy to gain that ground and potentially lure us into that sin. The body of this physical realm, which has all those needs, we got to remind ourselves, we have to be mindful that when we feel tempted or lacking, that prayer is what will save us. When I was doing a little bit of my little research, I love the internet, as Shay will know, he wouldn't be able to put a sermon together without Google, but when I was... There's this website called 164 and More, and I can like input words, and it'll give me exactly where in the big book does it bring those words. And I was kind of actually astonished to see that when I typed in prayer in the big book, prayer wasn't even mentioned in the AA big book until page 59 when we read it in the 11th step, when we ask through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. There's 58 more pages about what it is that we need to be doing, but it wasn't until page 59 when the mention of the 11th step, that prayer. But in page 85 of that big book, it was pretty great to read and to be reminded of what it says. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism or whatever it is that is hurting you. What we really have is the daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual program, our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done.
Amen.
These are the thoughts which must go with us constantly. We exercise our willpower along the line all we wish. But it is the proper use of the will. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and all power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of the Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become what they call God conscious. We have begun to develop the vital sixth sense. We must go further, and that means more action. We continuously prayed to improve our conscious contact with God, as it says in the 11th step. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than us, than we, use it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. And that's going back into the Word, going back and understanding the truth, where all this spiritual malady came from. Reading the Bible and understanding the Bible and what powerful tool it is to bring God's Word back into our lives. I love that whenever I got a problem, I can go ahead and tell God, well, you promised this, and throw it right back in His face and say, I need you to deal with this situation because you said you would, so let's see it happen. I know some of us, we always have that sense of instant gratification, right? I want what I want, and I want it now. When I pray for those lotto numbers next week and I'm going to hit the big bucks, I better have an answer and get those numbers really quickly. But we know that sometimes when we pray, we don't get the answer. We may not get the answer we want. We may not get an answer at all. There's another thing about that spiritual realm that we kind of don't really quite understand. There's a purpose. There's a reason for that. I want you to turn with me to Daniel 9. Daniel 9. Verse 2. Daniel was a very strong man of God. Same Daniel that we hear about in our little children's Bible stories, Daniel and the lion's den. This is much later in his life. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So listen to what Daniel did. So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with Him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. So Daniel read something in the Bible from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was another prophet. We call him the weeping prophet. If you want a sad story, read Jeremiah. So he read something he didn't quite understand. As it said, Jerusalem will be under desolation for 70 years. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Are you sure? I mean, this is yet to come. So Daniel prayed and petitioned God's word back to him, say, I don't understand this. Tell me what is going on. Why are you saying this? What's going to happen here? When we jump into chapter 10, verse 2. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice, or I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank at the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with the belt of fine gold around his waist, and then his body like topaz. And what he was seeing, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs the gleam of burnished bronze. What he was seeing, he couldn't even fathom what he was looking at. All right? When we jump down to verse 10 real quick, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, "Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you." And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. This man, as we'll understand, is the angel Gabriel, sent from God to answer Daniel's question, the question he asked when he read God's word from Jeremiah. We'll continue in verse 12. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. So what he's saying here, the day you prayed, Daniel, word was sent back to you. God was going to send you an answer the day you prayed. But Gabriel was held up by the Persian kingdom for 21 days. So what did God do? Then Michael, the archangel Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the visions concerns a time yet to come." As Daniel was praying to get an answer from God of what it is that was going to happen, Daniel threw that right back to God, and God said, "All right, I'm going to give you an answer immediately." And that same day, God sent an answer. He sent a postman named Gabriel down to earth to give Daniel that answer. But what happened is what we don't understand is in this physical realm, we don't see what's happened spiritually. Amen. We don't understand what's going on. As Gabriel was held up for 3 weeks because of the Persian kingdom and all those enemies and all that negativity and those little shenanigans that were going on up there, Gabriel couldn't get to him, couldn't get to Daniel until the archangel Michael came in to help him. So then that way Gabriel can do his job, which was to deliver the message. So when we don't understand what it is that we're supposed to be doing, we don't know the answer. Well, just because we don't know the answer doesn't mean there's an angel coming down from heaven to tell us exactly what we need to know. We may not get the answer we want eventually, whether it's a week or a day or 3 weeks, but a messenger is on the way. So I ask that you, when we pray and we read the word of God and we send that request for an answer to him, that once we do that, God's heard you. He knows what we're dealing with, whether it's a groan, whether it's a frustration. When we ask for him to intercede in our lives, "Please remove this spiritual malady. Please remove this temptation from me." Answer, an angel is coming right then and there when we do that. We may not be able to get that answer right away, because you know what? That devil he's tough. Those demons in our lives, they can be tough. But there's a battle ensuing. We just don't see it. So remember that. Continue to pray and continue to pray afterwards. "I don't know what's going on, Lord, but I'm still struggling. I'm still dealing with this matter. There's something going on spiritually, and I want you to just remove it now. Send an army, send as many angels as you possibly need. I need this gone now. Because you told me you would. You promised me you would. Please do it now. Sometimes we get caught up with how to pray or what to pray or when we should pray. Love it in Matthew. Back to Matthew, not me. Matthew 6, verse 5. He says, and when you pray, this is Jesus telling his disciples, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what you have done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Amen. He knows what you need before you even ask. This then is how you should pray. And this is going to be so familiar to us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today. Today, our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. All we have is that daily reprieve contingent on our spiritual maintenance. All we can ask for is today, our daily bread. Please give me, Lord, what I need today to make it through today. Because that's all I can ask for. Because I know tomorrow is going to be another day. It's going to be another battle. It's going to be another physical temptation. It's going to be another spiritual malady. It's going to be another thing that some devil's going to throw at me. But Lord, just give me today. Just give me today. That last fill in the blank. If you didn't catch it, go ahead and fill it in. Give us today our daily bread. And make sure you get that to take home. I'm going to go ahead and invite the band back up. As we sum it up, I like the way the big book summarizes the end of the chapter into action, as that's what we are asked to do every single day, is to take action. And when we go into action, as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful, and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. We are in much less danger of excitement, fear, angry, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. Refrain from all those shenanigans that we really want to do. We become much more efficient. We do not tire easily. We do not become that physical tiredness. For we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit our needs. We overcomers are undisciplined. We try our best, but we are undisciplined. So we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action, because that faith without works is dead. So go take action, and may God keep you till then. Amen.